Happy New Year, Marvelites! Welcome back to Marvel Movie News. On today's packed show, we're going to be talking about The Runaways Season 2. Is Spider-Verse getting some TV spinoffs? I forgot to mute my computer. And is ABC going to have The Avengers host the Oscars? We'll find out that and more on today's Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Oh.
Woo!
Happy New Year. There I am. Happy New Year, Amy.
Hey.
Happy New Year, Marvelites. Welcome back. Oh, what a marvelous time.
What a marvelous time indeed.
Did you have a great holiday break, Amy?
I did. Did you?
I did. It was a lot of fun. I watched a lot of TV, a lot of Marvel
Same.
Stuff. This is Marvel Movie News. We are coming to you live from Bronson Canyon, Los Angeles. That's where the Runaways were hiding when they ran away. I don't think they say that on the show, but that's where they are.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where the hostel is. We are on Popcorn Talk on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, or you can follow the Popcorn Talk at the Popcorn Talk on Twitter. You can also, if you tweet a link out, both of those accounts will retweet. Just make sure you tag and put the live event link in your tweet. There's so much to talk about.
There's so much.
I'm Zach Wilson. This is Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hello.
We got Jeff in the booth. Thank you, Jeff.
You got it, guys. I'm glad to be here.
We're going to talk about, there's a new Captain Marvel trailer today to tease you guys what we're going to talk about. And I'm not even going to tease everything. As I said, we're going to talk about Spider-Verse, potential TV spinoffs that's now floating out there in the ether. The Punisher trailer dropped this morning. So if you haven't seen that, we're going to take a look at it. The Academy is genuinely considering having the Avengers host the Oscars.
It's going to happen. Put their lives out there.
And we're going to talk about not all of Runaway Season 2. So if you haven't finished it, don't worry. We're going to be careful about spoilers, but we are going to talk about our first reactions to what we've each seen of the show. Let's start off with Captain Marvel.
Let's do it.
The movie is 2 months out. Tickets are on sale now. I'm somebody who works super late on Thursday nights, so I can never get those like early screening tickets. I play it by ear and like find a genuine midnight screening sometimes.
Yeah.
But you can get your tickets now.
You can.
So get ready.
I'm actually going to go to, there's like a fan event going on, which I really don't know what that means, but it popped up on, I'm part of the AMC Stubs A-list, not sponsored, but hey, we're here if you want to. But yeah, so I saw it and I signed up and I was like, I'm going. So I'm going.
Nice. Yes. AMC A-list, not sponsored, but it's why I've seen Spider-Verse so many times in theaters. Three, and I plan to see it at least once, if not two more times. Because I don't have to pay for the ticket. I just pay my monthly fee. It's great. It's great for people who love to rewatch movies. Anyway, so Captain Marvel out in 2 months. Let's take a look at the third trailer and then talk about it. This one's faster. It's only a minute and a half, which is great.
Good look for you.
Did you have a rough day, Agent Fury?
Yeah, I've never seen this, so my mouth will be
clarification on
dropped
this
the whole time.
Invasion.
Remember, we talked about how they needed that sort of pop music, like fast thing. That's exactly what they're doing here. They're giving you, they're giving us exactly what we talked about.
Prove you're not a Skrull.
And they're giving us Grandma again.
I love this. Prove you're not a Skrull.
That's a photon blast.
And
a Skrull cannot do that.
I'm just supposed to take your word for that.
I love the eyebrow sass that Carol's giving to Nick Fury in that moment.
Oh my gosh.
United. You have to let go of the past.
But Jude Law, the rumors and back and forth continue about whether he is Marvel or not. And you guys can look those up. I won't tell you what the current state of those rumors are.
I'm at a point where I don't want to know anything else anymore.
And this trailer is mostly footage that we've seen.
Yeah.
There's a couple of extra things, like enough that it's like, okay, I'm seeing more.
Oh, I love that so much. It's one of my favorite things. Look at that. Look at it.
Epic.
Yes.
Epic.
What is this?
The SHIELD logo.
Ooh.
Does announcing your identity on clothing help with the covert part of your job?
Said the space soldier who was wearing a rubber suit.
I love that because it's totally true. S.H.I.E.L.D. has way too much branded clothing.
I love it. I want a whole S.H.I.E.L.D. costume / outfit.
I have a S.H.I.E.L.D. like cardigan for some reason.
Nice.
I'll have to wear it one of these weeks.
Yeah.
So did this trailer get you more hyped? I know we were talking through it because we have to talk over it.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot more sass that we haven't seen in previous trailers. So we were able to get that this time around. Just to see the interaction between her and Nick Fury is going to be really exciting.
It was nice seeing like a little more of the emotion, like the human emotion from Carol, because we've seen a lot of her as like her, I guess what I could say, like her mind wiped Kree form, where she doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
And that's very, she's very stoic in that. But this, we're like, okay, so now I see the human side of this character, not just the like presentable version. Like Carol's gonna be fun. She's gonna be a cool, like, fun person. That gets me more excited.
Yeah, I think that's way more approachable for people that don't know anything about her to be excited about this movie. To be like, oh, okay, so she is gonna figure out like who she is, hopefully at some point, but she's gonna be fun along the way, even when she doesn't know who she is.
Yeah, I like the photon blast thing. She's like, a Kree cannot do that. And Nick Fury's just like, how am I supposed to know that? What's really cool is like this is apparently Nick Fury like when he's just starting out, so it's like him, and I like the hint that we're basically seeing the origins of the Avengers Initiative, because he's talking to Coulson and Coulson's just like, you think you can find others, this she's just the beginning, which feels like it's like a really late in the movie scene, because that's like him going like, we gotta find more of these people to form, I don't know, some kind of avenging body.
Something that sounds like Avengers.
But I like that it's the beginning of the 087s, and like so she's sort of one of the first like of their like the 087s that Nick Fury and Coulson encounter. What'll be really funny is if Coulson, I'm almost thinking that Coulson might be above Nick Fury at the moment.
That's an interesting thought.
Which like is totally possible depending on where, like, because Coulson, yeah, I mean maybe not. But either way, I love that we're going to get to see them work together again. Give me anything with Phil Coulson. I'll be happy.
Now that we don't have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Coulson and Lola Funko on the desk.
Yeah, right now I need more Coulson in my life because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't currently on.
Yeah, well, we only have four or five months until the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, I'll be talking about that. So we've got that coming. That trailer looks really cool. This actually, I think we talked about it during the last trailer. The trailers up until now have not gotten me super hyped about the movie. I was already hyped. They just didn't do anything to raise my level of excitement the way that, like, the Infinity War trailers. Like, I wanted to keep watching them because it looked so crazy, like, what I was seeing. This is like, okay, this is sort of, I don't know what the plot is, but this is sort of what I was expecting to see.
Yeah.
This trailer is like, okay, here's the emotion and the feeling that like pop song actually helps. Like, it just like it's a little more than just like a score. So it gets me sort of more amped for the movie.
This trailer
is more, to me, more effective than the one so far.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad people in the chat are excited too. Jay Snowden says, I'm excited for young Coulson. I hope we get young May. I would scream in the theater if we got to see a young man.
That's what I've yelled about, because it'd be so easy. You technically, it's so far in the past, you could use Ming-Na Wen, but you wouldn't have to. You could just get any person.
I mean, do it though. If you're gonna do it, do it.
Or even just like a reference, like I'll call my partner May and then go from there. Like, that's all I need.
No,
Marvel.
No, I want to see her.
I want to see her, but I'm just saying you could get away with it. I'm hoping that just because Clark Gregg is there, he pushed for something like that, even as Marvel Studios and Marvel TV still hate each other. More and more, I'm hoping that Clark Gregg was like, but we'll have to wait and see. 2 months, guys, 2 months, and we get Captain Marvel.
What a beautiful year.
Yes, very exciting. This actually didn't have it on the rundown, but this reminded me, they did say about the Avengers Endgame trailers and everything that we've seen and everything that we will see is going to be from the first 15 minutes of the movie. They're not going to put anything further than 15 minutes into promotional material. So if you're like, oh no, I can't watch the Avengers Endgame trailers, you apparently don't have to worry about it because it's just going to be right at the top, which is fantastic. And I actually love that they're telling us because that makes me feel more comfortable looking at promotional materials. Yeah. There were other leaks that came out this week that I'm not going to talk about because they're toy leaks, which we generally are going to keep
to the
thing, but like just costumes and stuff that like hint at things, and like Samuel Jackson, I tell you this so that you can look it up if you want to. Samuel Jackson might have slipped in an interview and let out some spoilers for both Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame.
I have not heard of this.
Yeah, so
I'm not going to look it
up. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but he made some comments in an interview that would theoretically spoil stuff that we've talked about. It's like theories. It might confirm some theories that we've had. There are also some IMDb listings of this is a separate thing, but there are some IMDb listings of like era specific people, like 70s car girl, and it's like, what does that mean, IMDb? And they also listed a bunch of actors that you. The ancient one is currently listed on IMDb for Endgame. Huh. But it's IMDb, which is wholly unreliable because people from the theater, people from the studio do not necessarily actively update that. And it is somewhat user generated.
Right.
But you can look at that. You can see that list if you want.
Yeah.
It's probably just, to me, it's flashbacks. It's set up. It's like, oh, what happened? If you've seen that rumor, if they use footage from Doctor Strange where you see the ancient one, they technically have to credit her. Yeah. So that's what I think that is. I think it's going to be other characters flashing back to what they've been through. Mm-hmm. As you would in a culmination of 10 years of movie making.
I mean, but that just means really the possibilities are endless. I think we're all trying to, it's that one meme or gif, it's that gif of the woman with like the whole, you know, like screen in front of her of all these numbers and things. And I think every single time we get a little something, we're just trying to figure out exactly what that means. But it's nice to know that they've got our backs.
Yeah.
That means, you know, everything that we've seen is only the first 15 minutes.
You don't have to worry about the footage.
We're good.
At the very least.
Thank you.
All right. Some Sony news real quick. Mm-hmm. Morbius is apparently already set to wrap filming this year in May. It'll be done by May. Wow. I can't even believe this movie is happening, let alone that it's done.
I know.
Or it's not even done. It's 5 months out. But
so fast.
Jared Leto made some comments that it may or may not be connected to Venom. They're not really concerned about it, so it'll probably be more standalone. Mm-hmm. At this point, you're just making a vampire movie, though. Like,
not happy about a vampire movie, then? Is that what you're saying?
I just don't know what Morbius... I don't know what Morbius has to do with... Like... To me, the Morbius take on vampires is not so unique that you need to do a whole movie for him without Spider-Man. Like, him as a villain for Spider-Man, I could be interested in that. That might be a cool thing to do. But as his own character, I don't see it. Time will tell. People liked Venom. It made so much money. It made over $800 million at the box office, so much so that the sequel is officially moving ahead, and it now has a writer.
Yeah.
Kelly Marcel... Who we have a picture of? There's her with Tom Hardy. Mm-hmm. I think it was from one of the Venom like events.
Good for her.
She is officially being put on board of writing sequel. She was one of the writers on the first movie. A lot of movies nowadays have a room.
Yeah.
So, but she will be writing. She's also written 50 Shades of Grey.
You guys might have heard of that.
But she apparently like didn't love the version that was in theaters.
So don't let that scare you.
Yeah, and that's also like that's somebody who is like who learns to write adaptations.
Yeah,
like that's a huge deal, especially when you're talking about creating this.
Especially, don't forget Melissa Rosenbaum wrote Twilight, who created Jessica Jones.
Yes,
which I would argue is. To me, the best Marvel thing that's ever happened ever, personally. But that's just me.
Yeah, it's certainly up there. I think after the last season of Daredevil that we got, it was just like, whoa.
She's also credited for writing Saving Mr. Banks for Disney.
I just saw that for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I think with writers, you can never just judge them on a thing that they did. Because they're going to want to do multiple... genres of writing, and some you'll like, some you won't. But the thing is that there are people out there that enjoy every single thing that some of these people create. So
yes,
yay, positivity. Because I'm pretty pumped about the sequel to Venom. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm more interested in the sequel than I was in the original, because I think that the villains of the original were boring. But a Venom versus Carnage movie, depending on how they do it, could be really interesting. And
gorgeous wig that we all love. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I hope they play up. They joked a lot about this being like a rom-com, and they kept saying like Venom's a rom-com. It wasn't, but I want that version.
I mean, let's fully go into all the possibilities, you know? Like, we don't really know. So I think that they're going to have fun with it. And I know that there's some people that really did not care for Venom, but there are some of us out there that really did have fun. So I'm curious to see exactly what they're going to take from the first one and really like change, or just like, you know, really go into for the second one.
Yeah, I think for me, I was not a huge fan of it, mm-hmm. but I think there were enough pieces of it that like with a proper villain, it could be really interesting. And yeah. I think you need to play up the fun of the relationship angle between Eddie and Venom, where treat it like it's a romantic relationship, not just like this, whatever it was in the first one. I think if you treat it like a romance, it will be more fun. And yeah. that's what you're going to need, especially against the darkness of, like, Woody Harrelson's Carnage, mm-hmm. which would be, like, I think he's a great choice. I hope they let him be as, I hope they let the movie be as violent as Carnage should be.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it. Once Upon a Deadpool showed us that you can still do the same plot points without the gore, mm-hmm. but Carnage it's in his name.
I know.
With if it's not like Carnage, gory, it almost feels like you're missing pieces of it.
Yeah, I know. Well, it'll be interesting to see it and to see exactly how much it's going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to take our input, you know, and y'all's input in the chat for sure, because they watch this. So we'll see what that means, really.
Let's talk about award season.
Let's
guys.
Do that.
This is a big year for Marvel. For Ooh. Awards, yes, there's the Golden Avenger, and we're going to talk about the Academy Awards themselves in a minute, but I thought we would talk about just who all got nominated this year, because like Marvel keeps racking up the nominations. Spider-Verse won a Golden Globe for Best Animated Feature.
Isn't that so cool?
Disney usually has those on lock, either through yeah. Pixar or their own animated things. But, like, yeah. Sony and Marvel came in, and, like, Spider-Verse, like, we don't have time to go into, like, a deeper review today, because there's so much to cover, but that movie is it's so good. There was never a question whether it earned that mm-hmm. that win. Mm-hmm. Like, I really liked Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh yeah, and I just saw that one too. Really nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was fun. But yeah. What?
I mean,
don't feel like you have to say it just because it's a Marvel show.
No, and honestly, I'm not biased at all because I love Ralph and that whole. I mean, I guess now it's a baby franchise. But the amount of skill that it took to create how different Spider-Verse was, like, that should be recognized.
Yeah.
And it was. Whether you're a Marvel fan, a DC fan, you don't like comic books at all, like, this was completely different than anything we've ever seen, and that deserved a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy for them. Yeah.
So we have that. Black Panther is... Oh, well, with Spider-Verse, how much I've loved that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how I can get my shoes up onto the desk.
Do it.
But
let's see.
I got...
Hey!
I'm rocking the official Spider-Verse Jordans that I got over the break.
Nice!
They were not cheap to find, especially in my giant shoe size. But But I very much enjoyed walking around in Miles's shoes.
I feel like we need to do like a whole, you know, like swipe up for the link to get these, but not sponsored. But like, if people want to get them, will you share a link on your Twitter?
It's all second market now. They sold out like that. It's the shoe collect. It's the sneakerheads.
Yeah.
I had to go on eBay to get them.
Hey,
but
whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Man.
But I every step I take, I think about Spider-Verse now.
Every step. People in the chat are really liking your shoes.
Yeah, it's okay. They're very comfortable, but also I remember how much I spent on them, which I'm not going to share.
Well, it's an investment, you know, for your future.
Yes.
And for the universe that is Marvel.
No, but that's how much that movie, I literally bought them because that movie helped, like, put me in such a good mood that, like, thinking about it, actually, and listening to the soundtrack, which I did a lot on, like, I went on a road trip and I listened to that soundtrack probably 5 times while I was on this trip. And everything that reminds me of that movie is like, oh, yeah. The world's not all terrible. I mean, the world is terrible, but there's a little glimmer of hope because we can all wear the mask or the shoes in this case.
Aw, guys. That really, I mean, true.
Back to award season. Some other nominations that we got. Black Panther did not win anything at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
But it was nominated for a Writers Guild Award for script, for adapted screenplay. It was nominated for Producers Guild Award for Best Feature. The Academy Award nominations aren't out yet, but everything suggests that Black Panther probably will get a Best Picture nomination. Whether it gets any of the other categories that it's hoping for, we'll see. Probably Kendrick Lamar, All the Stars.
Yeah.
You think that one... A Star is Born easily took the Golden Globe, but do you think it has a chance to win Best Song for the Oscars?
I don't know, but it should be nominated.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. All the Stars was a huge hit, and there's no question that it will be nominated, just whether it stands a chance to win.
Oh, I don't know. But there are a lot of surprises. I mean, I was surprised that Bohemian Rhapsody won.
A lot of people are, and so. I think a Black Panther winning Best Picture is a stretch. Like, I think that there was enough reaction to Bohemian Rhapsody winning that it may actually hurt its chances for the Oscars, because people are going to, I think there's going to be a sense of like, oh, well, I didn't want that to win. I'm going to make sure it doesn't for this one. So we'll see what happens there. But the big story when it comes to the Oscars is, this comes to us courtesy of The Hollywood Reporter. They are saying that because of there's all this, if you haven't heard, Kevin Hart was scheduled to host the Oscars, and then there was some, there was another basically flare up of social media. He made some comments about LGBTQ people. I don't even know what it was that he said, but he claimed he apologized. The Academy said he didn't, and then he quit over it. And then he was like, maybe I'll come back. And then he didn't, and he talked to Ellen. It's a whole saga we don't need to get into, but now. The rumor is, Hollywood Reporter has sources that are saying the Academy is trying to assemble all of the Avengers actors to, as a group, host the Academy Awards in late February.
That would be great. I honestly do want to know in the comments down below and in the chat if you guys, you know, if you're not a huge fan of the Oscars, if you weren't going to really tune in, if you would tune in for the Avengers, you know, to support your fellow Avengers, would you do that? Let us know in the comments below.
I feel like I have to tune in now.
Of course!
I'm usually hit and miss. There's some years where I'm like, yeah, let's do an Oscar party. I'm going to do the pool. And then other years, I don't need to watch that thing. I don't care. And this year, I'm like torn on it because I want to root for Spider-Verse. I want to root for Black Panther. But it's still a long ceremony. But if they're going to have, like, Marvel jokes and Avengers jokes scattered throughout the entire show, I'm gonna have to watch the whole thing, right?
Yeah, well, hey, you know, our saying, what about Thanos for Oscar host? I mean, they didn't say no. We have the Avengers, so maybe we have, right? Like, it's totally set in stone. But you never know. That would be fun. Wouldn't it?
That's the interesting thing. They have, like, so it's a month and a half out. So the amount to get visual effects for something like this done, like if they were actually going to do anything like that, that's my only question for the Academy. It's like, are you just going to have like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Mark Ruffalo like
they doing
like
costume.
Hosting bits like throughout the, or are you going to do like what Tom Hiddleston did at Comic-Con all those years ago where he came out as Loki? So like, are you talking about having Tony Stark show up at the Oscars, or are you just gonna have Robert Downey Jr. doing all this stuff? What the article says is that like, this is why you didn't see any of those actors doing anything at the Golden Globes, like just by chance, like you didn't really notice it, but when you say that, like, yeah, Scarlett Johansson didn't do anything, Chris Evans didn't do anything, Robert Downey Jr. didn't do anything. And apparently, because they asked them, like, if we might do this, like, you can't do the Golden Globes because we need it to be more special.
Yeah, I mean, we did see some people from Black Panther present.
Yes, but not...
not necessarily Avengers. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, just having the possibility of that happen makes me so excited. I'm going to watch the Oscars regardless because I've grown up watching, you know, all of the award shows since I was a kid. But it'd be so freaking cool. Can you imagine? Like, just think about it and just let yourself live in that moment for a little. Whether it happens or doesn't, just the idea makes me happy.
I also think from a producing perspective, it would be really smart for them because, like, the spirit of Marvel, like, that whole universe and the attitudes around Marvel are kind of the opposite of the overly politicized, fearful climate that Hollywood's going for right now, and there's a huge mainstream crossover, so I can see why this would be a logical producing choice.
It's also being broadcast on ABC, which is owned by Disney, which owns Marvel. It's all one thing now, guys. But, you know, I mean, it's not the worst idea. Like, it could be cool. I'm curious as to what they're going to do. My whole thing for years has been... let the Muppets host the Oscars.
I've been hearing that. I mean, I would prefer the Avengers.
Way more. I mean, like, I love, obviously, I'm here talking about Marvel every week. I love the Avengers, but the Muppets, because the Muppets are hosts. That's the difference, is Captain America is not a host.
But we don't know. Maybe he hasn't tapped into that skill that he has. We don't know.
He was a stage performer back in the 40s.
So there are possibilities there.
But that's the difference to me, is the Muppets, like, are genuine entertainers. Like, I don't know what the Avengers... That's what I'm curious about. It's like, are they going to do battle shtick? Like, are there bits where they're fighting people in the audience? Or is it going to be, like... Is T'Challa gonna get up there and give like a speech about like bringing our nations together? I don't know what this looks like.
How cool would that be?
But it'll be interesting. It's better than just a generic like, hey, we're just gonna have celebrities like make pre-written jokes for
thing.
So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. But yeah, tell us in the comments and on Twitter what you guys if this makes you more likely to watch or not.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't know if we have the cue today, but it is time to get into Marvel TV time. Oh yeah, there it is.
Woo. Marvel movie news.
Target.
Talking TV.
Oh, that's great. And this one, so these stories, as we were talking about a little bit before the show, the line between, not TV time and TV time is getting blurrier and blurrier every week.
Yeah.
Because this is somewhat movie topic because we're talking about Into the Spider-Verse. But this week there were rumors now that Sony might be considering a Spider-Verse TV spinoff. It came from comments from Sony CEO Kenichiro Yoshida, who was talking, because there's Consumer Electronics and Sony's talking about everything, but they're talking about taking all of their properties and spinning them off and doing more things with them, and TV has become such a viable landscape. So now Spider-Verse was listed as a property that could spin off into TV. What do you think? Like, do you think that there's, do you think there's room there?
I think there is room, and I can only imagine, you know, there were plenty of new Marvel fans that came out of the theaters after watching Spider-Man.
Katy Perry loved Spider-Verse. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not see that.
Katy Perry said, like, I'm not a huge, like, Spider-Man fan, but she apparently loved Into the Spider-Verse.
See, that's what it's all about. So if we can grab all of those, you know, new fans and bring them to the TV world, how cool would that be? Because it's like... It was fun to go see it, and, you know, you've seen it now, like, 55 times. I'm just kidding. But imagine, like, having it so accessible that people can have that. And also, not to mention, it's so freaking positive, and it makes you feel good when you leave, you know, watching something like that. So we can have something that creates that much positivity on our screens that's super accessible. Then how great would that be?
For me, the question is how, like, what parts of that are repeatable?
Yeah.
Well, the money, I mean, the animation style and everything, but like, there are ways that they figure that out. I mean, you get, like, the How to Train Your Dragon TV show, the Madagascar TV shows. Like, they can take those animation styles and find ways to simplify them. So that, like, that's all interesting and scalable and possible, but the positivity and all that, that's because that story was so well written. But you're not going to get that amazing writing team to write every episode of whatever these shows are.
Who says? Who says? There, I mean, if you can get talented writers that know how to write well and, you know, come up with original storylines, but also, like, do callbacks to the comics, then why not? It doesn't need to be exactly this group of people as long as they appreciate canon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. The question is, because they're not just going to take these characters and all of them and do a show with them, but the idea would probably be, to me, the most likely candidate is Spider-Ham, is to do a Spider-Ham show or miniseries, or even shorts. It's the simplest to just make into a show because it's so silly and the animation style is so cartoony that it would be cheaper. But it's very kid friendly, so you could put it almost anywhere. And it's so unique. Like, to take him and put him in his own world is just like, you can easily tell those, like, silly Looney Tunes stories with a Spider-Man character.
Yeah, but, like, I think part of the appeal of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is just how complex it is.
Yeah.
So, like, if we just pick Spider-Ham, no offense, dude, but, like, that's just one little tiny bit. And if we're, like, simplifying it, then it's just like, oh, something you could put, like, meh. No, like, it still needs to be good, because if we're bringing that spinoff, then let's keep the quality, keep the writing really good, you know?
Yeah. I guess the question, well, so we've got the sequels coming. Like, so we know where Miles is tied up. So you're not going to get Miles, because his story is going to be continued on big screen. Mm-hmm. Gwen and, if the rumors are true, Silk and Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, are tied up in the Women sequel that's going to the big screen. So theoretically, you could go into Spider-Noir or Penny Parker, the spider.
Penny Parker would be great. Character, yeah.
Like, anime style. That could be really interesting. Or maybe this is just a series of, like, 44 minute, like, mini movies with some of these characters. There's also a billion different Spider-Man spin-off characters that you could do. Like, I would love to see Spider UK. For one, like, the British Spider-Man, who's, like, very much, like, in charge. Like, he's very, like, take charge version of Peter Parker, who's also just British. And he wears, like, a Union Jack version of the spider suit.
That's so cool.
Which is really funny. So there's obviously tons of possibilities. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious which ones you guys, so let us know again in the comments below, which one you want to see. What Spider-Man do you think would work as a series in this world?
Mm-hmm. Thunder God Cairo 770 says, I'd love to see more about Penny Parker. So
yeah. Could be really cool. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of stuff to play with there.
It's like a whole web, you know, just connects.
More writers that we have to know, that we know about now. Vision and the Scarlet Witch has found its showrunner in Jack Schaefer. Jack Schaefer is one of the writers on Captain Marvel, coming out in 2 months. Mm-hmm. She's also listed as the writer currently for the Black Widow movie. So she's very busy.
Go girl.
So apparently Marvel likes what they're getting from her, because she's not just going to be writing some episodes. She's the showrunner. She's in charge of this miniseries or whatever it's going to be, Vision and the Scarlet Witch. As far as her, like, what she's done in the past, not a lot that you would have necessarily seen. Her on her IMDb credits, she has Olaf's Frozen Adventure short. She wrote that. She wrote a sci-fi, her sort of breakout thing was a movie, a sci-fi comedy she wrote called Timer. That was back in 2009, so 10 years ago. I get the sense that she's probably ghost written a lot of content that we've seen.
Yeah.
That's
ghost written. That was good.
Nice. I didn't even intend to do that, but I'll take ownership of it. Well, a lot of times, so if you haven't heard from her, I wouldn't be concerned.
Yeah.
Because she's like, a lot of these movies have rooms nowadays, and she's probably been a writer in a lot room for a lot of movies that we just didn't know that she was involved in.
Yeah.
But the fact that they trusted her on as one of the writers on Captain Marvel, the fact they're trusting her with Black Widow, I trust Kevin Feige to have found good talent that we just haven't heard of yet.
I trust Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
And it's great to see a female showrunner taking over a show with what is going to have one of two leads is going to be female.
Yeah. What, and like, this is a big deal. I mean, this is the first time we've seen these characters from, you know, the big screen come to a smaller screen. Yeah. For her to be able to be a part of that is awesome.
Yeah. And I'm very curious to see with this show. Like, I want to know what kind of angle they're going to take. If they're going to, like, there's the recent Vision run, which was like him trying to have like a suburban life, but it wasn't with Scarlet Witch. It was because they had separated and like he had literally built himself a family. It's super crazy. Read that run if you want. It's like two graphic novels, so it's not a long read. Do they go that route, or do they just go, is this a rom-com show with the two of them on the run? Is this an action show? Only time will tell.
Maybe a little bit of all of that.
Yes. Please give me the romance. I want the romance between Vision and Scarlet Witch.
I mean,
and I laugh, but like I'm not joking. All right, Netflix time. A bunch of Netflix updates. I'm actually go. Let's go with the order that I set earlier, and then we'll come back through. Okay, Punisher got its new trailer today.
Woo!
Jeff, let's take a look at that trailer.
Why did you?
It's the first actually like long footage we've seen of this show. It comes out in a week.
That's true. The 18th.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
A week from tonight at midnight, you will get more Punisher.
You know, it's almost like
I miss him.
You were happy for the excuse.
And there's been a lot of Punishers, like there's actually some news stories about the Punisher that are really interesting from Jerry Conway and John Bernthal. But in this trailer,
everybody that I've ever cared about. How do you think that feels?
He's not going actively after people. It's still people that are chasing him. Yeah. Which is sort of good. It's like that line you sort of have to walk with a live action version of, like, in 2019 of the Punisher. But we've got Russo back.
Oh, I love that.
Jigsaw. So, like, Jigsaw's got his mask.
Yeah. I love Netflix Marvel trailers. Because they're so freaking good, it's like watching a movie.
I'm gonna cast on the girl.
Whoa. And I also love that Punisher just has his own feel. Like, you listen to the music and you're like, yeah, Punisher.
I mean, this is the most, like,
Frank, people are gonna die.
This music with the Punisher, it's just like, yeah, I know exactly the guys that are into this in a big way. And I don't say that judging, it's just so on the nose.
And I know, like, our fellow friend from Marvel TV Weekly, Zia, loves the Punisher. So it's not just for men, ladies.
She's got some serious issues.
Yeah, I love it. But this also kind of makes me sad, because this and then the next season of Jessica Jones are the only ones that we have.
For now, but we're going to talk about, like, what the potential future stuff is.
Mm-hmm. I'll need some money.
Hands her a roll of bloody money.
Cool.
Not suspicious at all.
So, this is the first look that we've had. So we know some of the returning characters. Agent Madani is coming back. Russo is now, who is now probably better known as Jigsaw, is there. We get Detective Mahoney.
Yeah.
will have his little cameo. This appears to be Punisher on the road. Mm-hmm. So he's out of the city, at least for part of it. What do you think? Are you excited about next week's premiere?
I am. I think Punisher's not my favorite out of all of them, which isn't saying too much because they're all amazing. So I guess in, you know, the order of my favorites, he would be kind of in the middle of, like, all Marvel TV things that I've seen. But yeah, I mean, I love that he has his own kind of, like, persona that you watch it and you feel like a total BA, you know, and no one can take that away from you. So I just, like, I listen to it and I get myself into the space of, like, you're just fighting.
I'm very interested to see what's happening this season, because last season was so heavy in terms of not just it was dark and it used violence in a big way, but it got very much into PTSD and what goes on in a soldier that comes home from war. And I thought that was where most of the success of season one was rooted, was in that part of the story, was because it took a character that could be just very violent in one note and made him very have a lot of depth. And not just like, they hurt my family, I'm going to get revenge. It was like, no, yeah. This is a character who has... There's a reason that he reacts this way. There's a reason that he's built this way, and it's rooted in the real world more than any of the others. Even like, because like Jessica Jones is like very grounded, but she's still a super powered person.
Yeah,
the Punisher, especially season one, does, if you took the skull away from his like costume, could just be a show about a soldier.
Yeah.
And so this seat looks a lot more comic book heavy because you have Jigsaw with the masks and everything. It's going to, not that it's going to be super powered, but you're going to have that more comic book feel to yeah. it in that, like, yeah, he's got masks that feel like they could be real. Like they're not like rubber masks, but
they're not cheesy.
They are dated rob a place in them. So it'll be, that'll be interesting to see.
Does that make you like more excited or just like?
It doesn't, not one way or the other. Punisher for me was, I thought it was a great show. Quality wise, it was wonderful. It's not my kind of show. And that's the like, here's the thing that before anyone jumps down my throat, like, so like my excitement for season two is I'll watch it. I'm going to watch it right away and all that because I want to talk to you guys about it. But it's just not the kind of show that I dive right into. Usually, it's just not, I tend to go for stuff that has more comical, not comic, but like funnier, like angles to it, more like it balances the light and the dark, and Punisher was very heavy on the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that that show exists for people is part of why I love Marvel in the state that it is in right now, is that the people that want that can get it. And even though it's not my favorite thing, that's why you have, it's comic books, because you don't have to read every comic book. You read the ones that you love.
Exactly.
And we're going to watch it and talk about it regardless. Duh. But I think that this looks like it can pick up Frank's story in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Are you disappointed that Karen Page will not be there for Frank Castle this year?
Yeah.
I know I saw at least one person in the chat go like,
yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking. I know some people in the chat were saying, I think we even had someone that they were saying that they weren't going to watch it because they know that it was going to be canceled. And that's, I think, something that, unfortunately, I think it's just in our minds. Like, we know that these will come to an end maybe sooner than we'd like them to.
Mm-hmm.
And by them, I mean The Punisher and Jessica Jones. And especially with everything going on with Daredevil, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like we should just absorb the content for what it is. Do not think about, like, oh, this could be it. No, like, just take it in. I mean, we do this all the time.
Yeah.
We watch stuff not knowing if there's going to be, like, 10 sequels or whatever, a whole franchise. Yeah. So let's just watch it.
And the Punisher had the ability to adjust the like writers knowing that they're probably going to get canceled. So hopefully they were able to tailor that ending of the season to a place where it's still possibly open, but we'll have enough of a close that like you won't feel unsatisfied.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like fans of Luke Cage and Iron Fist are reasonably frustrated because those ended on such huge open stories. But Daredevil, they didn't know, but it still managed to close more or less on a bookend.
Yeah.
Punisher, I think, and Jessica Jones, knowing that they will most likely be canceled, have that opportunity to round out. So I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But speaking of Daredevil, there is a petition going around on the web to save Daredevil, move to a new network, whatever it takes. And normally we wouldn't even bother to talk about this because these petitions are... The networks notice them, but they aren't necessarily always effective, except when they get to 150,000 signatures in just like a week. That's crazy.
I mean... Okay, I'm being super positive here. Do we think that hopefully maybe this will somehow affect things in the future? I mean, things have already been done. Things have already been said. Is there a shot?
It can only help because 150,000 is no joke. Like, because for every person that signed this, there are probably one or two others who would watch or did watch that didn't bother to sign a change.org petition.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you can still sign.
Yeah. So whether it's going to actually change anything, I think the bigger thing is that a lot of this is not it's, I don't think it was ever a question that people were enjoying or not enjoying the show, or that people didn't want it, but it's all tied up in a combination of legal and creative, like, decisions for large, that are bigger than one show. Yeah. Disney Plus is not going to have a show like Daredevil in the way that this version of Daredevil existed. That's just not the it's, you wouldn't put Daredevil on Freeform. Mm-mm. Or on ABC either. It's just, that's not the kind of show that those networks air. And for that reason, Daredevil needs to, if it's going to go on, it needs, Disney needs to figure out a home for it where it can exist as people have enjoyed it. And they can't do that until at least next year. So time will tell. But 150,000 signatures, keep signing, guys. Like, you never know. Disney might see that and be like, all right, here, Netflix, here's here's $5 million. Please give us our rights back, and we're going to just do our thing.
So sign it. Yeah. If you haven't yet.
Mike Coulter made some comments this week about Luke Cage. He was asked, as they keep asking them, like, whether he was going to be in Avengers Endgame at all. And he's like, this is the quote. Am I in Avengers Endgame? Well, you know what? Based off what happened, I'm already dead. The snap already happened with Luke Cage. We're dead. We're already gone. I hate to break it down. Break people's. But no, we're not. So I mean, basically, as far as Mike Coulter is concerned, that's why Luke Cage got canceled. It was because he got snapped by Thanos.
I like that he was humorous about it.
Yeah, that's the best way to look at it. It's like, that's why we're not getting any more of these things. All of them just, like, they got, like, gone.
It happens.
Yeah.
Whenever Thanos is...
Womp, womp.
In charge. Yeah, Xeno Hour was actually saying Daredevil should be a movie. I mean, either way, nothing's going to happen until 2020.
What I would love to see them do with specifically Daredevil, I can't remember if I talked about this on the air or not. I want to see them do, take this version of Daredevil and do some, like, do movie 2-in-1 stories.
Okay.
Like, so Marvel 2-in-1, where they would take, like I want to see Spider-Man and Daredevil. And they do a one-off adventure where you get to see Spidey and have to fight with Kingpin and Daredevil. Like, you can take, because now that Marvel Studios is starting to make these shows, mm-hmm. to take, like, two of these characters, maybe Spider-Man maybe this version of Spider-Man isn't the right one. But, like, when you have stuff like Captain America and Iron Man, stick Hawkeye with the Daredevil, like something like that, where you combine two characters that you wouldn't expect to see together like that, mm-hmm. and just do a one-off story with them, like a special, like an annual kind of thing.
Okay. Oh, I mean, more than annual, because we're basically saying bye to these shows.
Well, what I mean is like an annual issue, like the ones that come out where it's just like, it's a one-off story. It's not, doesn't break, it's in canon, but it doesn't break from, doesn't mean that the ongoing stories that these characters are dealing with aren't happening. It just takes, it's just a standalone story in this universe, but it doesn't have to be like in the same like line. Like, you can figure out where it goes later.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would love to see them do with these Netflix characters, would now that Disney has more control over them.
Quickly going back to the Punisher, Ivan Soto's been saying that Karen has been confirmed to return to the Punisher.
Okay. I'm wrong then.
So
I didn't expect to see her because I'm seeing like on the road, but and because she seemed to be locked into where she is,
yeah.
Daredevil. But that's cool. We can't know everything here, guys. But thank you for pointing that out. So we'll see how much of a role she plays in this season. Legion had some casting news.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, Lauren Tsai, an actress who you probably aren't familiar with. She's only done a few things, but this is going to be her first big TV role. Is going to be playing a character called Switch. And so we see in that photo, that's the only current mutant that we know called Switch that exists.
Okay.
Switch is a character with body swapping abilities.
Ah, cool.
That was created in 1999 during an X-Force run. In the comics, was a villain named Devin Alomar. But yeah, he can basically... change, affect people and change. And I think he can make other people switch bodies, not necessarily himself, but this could be a gender swapped version of that character.
So it's kind of like Freaky Friday, right? Kind of. But you can also do it with other people.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
that's cool.
So we'll see. We'll see what she does in that show. That's really. I just wanted to make sure you guys were aware that that was happening.
I mean, that'll certainly add a lot to Legion. I think Legion's already like a woo kind of crazy show. That this would be super exciting. So good for her. Yay!
We've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to talk about Runaways season 2.
Let's do it.
All right. So if you guys have, so we're going to talk about like mild spoilers. I won't ruin the end of it because Amy hasn't finished the season because it's a lot of show to watch.
Guys. Yeah.
13 episode season. Amy, of what you've seen so far, warning, potential spoilers for Runaways. Yeah. We'll try to keep it mostly spoiler free, but you're going to get a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Well, so I actually told you I had never seen Runaways until super late of last year, super late December. So I really just like dived in, and the first season was fantastic. The second season, I don't know if it was just like too much at once, but it's been high up and down for me. But I'm still having fun because I love Runaways in that this is focused on the kids. Mostly with, you know, crazy parents, basically. And it's really fun. It's really different. And the only other show I had seen that had younger characters like this was Cloak and Dagger. And Cloak and Dagger, like, it's also fun, but I love having the versatility of all these different characters. And now in the second season, they really understand what their powers are. And they still are trying to figure them out and see how far they can go. And we certainly see that in this season. Which adds to the drama, which adds to the action and the intensity. The stakes are so high. And I don't know. I feel like at the beginning of season one, I started finding myself like finding favorites with the Runaways. And now I'm like, no, I'm invested in all of you guys. Like, I want the best for you all. And especially, you know, now that they're on their own and they're having to do things on their own and not have access to certain things that they need. It's scary. It's really scary.
I liked this season a lot more than I liked season one. I thought that like season one, like halfway through, I got kind of like meh and like turned off and then came back to it like a while later. But this season, I watched it just like in like a less than a week. I just binged it. Like I was enjoying every moment of this. And especially I think the last few episodes were like flew by. I couldn't stop watching. I watched till like 2 a.m. Which to be honest is not that late for me, but I really enjoyed it. I thought that the characters, the cohesion of the group really came together. The fact like the ensemble of this cast, this is truly an ensemble show, and they balanced that really well, where no character really felt underserved over the course of the season. Like I felt like Molly got a great Molly had a lot to do with what she was dealing with the like finding out her about her family and like trying to find new family and that all that. Chase had a big arc with his father. I won't spoil that like where
it goes. My gosh though.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Like Chase and Gert like together as like a couple was very like surprising that how much they invested in that. And like I would question how quickly some of the couplings happened, but it's also they're teenagers, so I totally buy it.
I mean, for some of them, like with Chase and Gert, I was like, let's faster, and then stuff happened. And I was like, whoa, okay, all right, here,
here. But you had Nico and Carolina getting together, and they're just like couples were like immediately bunking together, I was like, oh, that's not gonna end well.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Because she's like, you're moving in already. That's too fast, guys.
I know.
We got more time with Old Lace, which was really cool. I thought the combination of practical effects with visual effects for Old Lace worked really well. Where I really believe there's a dinosaur running around.
I mean,
there
is, but okay.
And Alex, like he had a huge arc in what he's dealing with, and like where he falls and falters, It really affects everybody in the group. Everybody got their time. Like, they used the 13 episodes really effectively.
Yeah. One, also, like, seeing what happens when one or two of them kind of go away from the group and, like, do certain things and how that ends up affecting all of them. They don't really realize it. Like, you know, Alex, Molly, yeah, Carolina. Yeah. It's just, it's interesting.
The thing that I think this season, the reason I think this season really was more effective than the last season was that the adults were more effective as villains
in this season.
This time around. They sort of like, it felt like they were sort of like pushing it a little bit, but now we had the parents, like we had to like them a little bit, I think, for the show to work.
Yeah.
For how long they stuck around, but this season added in enough external, like, non-parental threats that it felt like we were having, and then, like, the parents trying to gain control, but being victims of their own, like, their own circumstances as well, made the problems that the kids were running into more effective. It made it feel more grounded and real, as opposed to just, like, these high-powered parents who are coming in to mess up these kids' lives because they're evil. This felt like, no, these are parents who, like, they did some bad stuff, but, like, there's that makes them bad people. And so they're doing bad things, but there's also external factors. They're not just the parents, but pushing the parents into even more extreme places.
Yeah, I also, I mean, I think they did a really good job in the first season of setting up everyone. There are so many characters that you could easily get lost. And I think they found the perfect balance in the first season and even, you know, what I've seen of the second season of having enough time with the kids, having enough time with the parents, and then, like you said, outside people that are also involved. I think they're doing a really good job that if this wasn't in the right hands, it could just be too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some Easter eggs for you guys, like, because I know everybody is going to want some Easter eggs. There's not a ton. There's a few things like that. I haven't read a ton of Runaways comics, but like obviously they have the hideaway, like the hostel is what it's called, and it's in the same place in Bronson Canyon that the Runaways stay in the comics, which is like great. It's like very LA. Mm-hmm. I actually thought that the way that they tackled Los Angeles in this season was very good. They actually managed to tackle some real life issues with like homelessness and kids on the run. What you got with what's his name? The new character.
Topher.
Topher, yes. Mm-hmm. Who came in and like they put the sci-fi comic book lens onto addiction.
Yeah.
And like how that causes kids to be homeless and like hurt people that they care about. And that was effective. Like kids having to go into soup lines, but being afraid to go into soup lines because of paranoia or like worry that they might get caught and sent back. Mm-hmm. All very real to the world, not just superpowered kids.
Yeah. And just, I mean, like you say that they really focused on LA and just, I mean, I think that with other Marvel shows, like, heck, okay, Cloak and Dagger, like I said, that's the only other one that you have younger characters. I think that sometimes it's only, I mean, we've only seen one season, but it doesn't go that deep, and I think that even the first season you already are going so deep that you're like, you know that they have really hard lives, so I love that it gets so deep, but then there's also like funny moments that you're like, hey, this is cool. Like, we're just running away and we have crazy parents. It's fine. Yeah.
Some other Easter eggs. They did drop the quick Wakanda reference. That one's hard to miss. Alex just like throws the country. Like, he could have said anywhere. Just like,
when was that?
I don't remember exactly what episode. He's like yelling something. But the bigger one that I want to touch on, and I think this might be a little bit past you, Amy, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
But there's one moment where Nico is using the staff, and she banishes some people, and they go away. And her eyes, they use the exact same effect that Caecilius's eyes take on in Doctor Strange. And Tina Minoru actually appears in one of the Doctor Strange MCU prequel comics, like the prelude things that they do. She shows up there. She has the staff in that comic, so she knows Caecilius. Mm-hmm. So my thought is, I wonder, and this is partially like a theory, is I'm thinking that her staff is powered by the dark dimension. So, like, is there some Dormammu stuff going on
with
Nico? Like, that's what the eyes imply to me, which we see at least once during the season. Trying to avoid spoilers, but I wanted to talk about this one specific Easter egg. Because it's very deliberate that they're using the same effect from Doctor Strange. So I have to think that there is somehow, because the staff has that dark hold over her. Like, there's something about that staff that is, like, taking her darkness and elevating it. So I think there may be a connection to Dormammu. Whether we'll ever get into that as, like, out loud, I don't know. But that's my crazy MCU theory, is that somehow this staff is linked to Dormammu.
Dude, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I love how dark Nico got. And even what I've seen so far.
Well, dark, like, in her own story, but also, like, the staff is driving her further, and that'll be something for her. Like, again, just like superhero stuff does this. Like, it's not the first time that we've seen, like, superpowers become addictive. Like, we literally see it in the show, but that, I think, what the staff can do with her and does to her, and whether she has to fight with it and, like, sort of make. I'd be interested to see if they start treating it as an intelligent being that she has to, like, make a deal with, where she, like, gives it, like, uses the darkness a little bit but doesn't want to go too far.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I definitely want to know everyone's thoughts about the Runaways in the comments down below. You guys were great in the chat. Lots of strong opinions is what I'll say. Yes. But keep those coming.
And let us know what you think about it. That's going to do it for today's Marvel movie news. Thank you guys so much for joining us, Amy. It's great to be back.
Yes, it was.
I'm excited to talk about all this stuff. We have so much to talk about next week. Next week we'll be one day away from The Punisher. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then. Maybe we'll get confirmation of those Avengers at the Academy Awards.
It's going to happen.
Amy, where can everyone find you?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ, and also on YouTube. Just look up my full name, Amy Cassandra Martinez.
All right, I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Also, be sure to check out my podcast, Ships in the Night. It's a silly comedy shipping podcast. Find it on all iTunes and all those platforms. Guys, this has been Marvel Movie News. Woo! Thanks for geeking out with us.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.